Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight. Chill show tonight, not much happening in the news. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? I'm doing an Ask Me Anything, so feel free to come on the show if you'd like. If you want to join the show, you will have to have Discord. Join the Discord link in the description below and click on the waiting room. If I see you on the waiting room, whenever I have time, I will be sliding you as you are the next person in line to speak. You can also send super chats using the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey is my favorite platform for super chats. John McAfee's ex-girlfriend says he faked his death and is still alive in Texas. In a new Netflix documentary released today, John McAfee's ex-girlfriend reveals what happened. John McAfee, an internationally recognized pioneer in antivirus software, was believed to have died in June 2021, led a strange and scary life that is only growing more mysterious. It was widely reported that McAfee committed suicide by hanging, but this girl claims that McAfee called her 2 weeks after dying and begged her to take him back. He would be in Texas right now. I think it's bullshit. I don't think that's true. Based solely on the testimony of this woman, I will not believe it. But if John McAfee shows himself on a video, on a picture that we can date for sure, that I would believe. But I don't think John McAfee is alive. I think it's the kind of craziness to expect around the life of John McAfee. And I think he's been very much developing a legend around himself by, among other things, by saying on Twitter that he would never commit suicide and then committing suicide. But I don't believe this girl. It's just not enough. I need a picture. I need some facts. Hey Dare says, didn't that one duck say he liked to eat feces? Not even kidding. I don't know that about John McAfee. I wouldn't want to know. I think I interviewed him and it's not the kind of question I would ask. I just don't want to know. But this guy was insane in so many ways. What a special mind, John McAfee. A true man of the original internet, you know. This guy had BBSs. This guy had networks before the internet rose. This was a true anarcho-thinker of the computer world. I wish we were still more in that mood. The internet has been totally transformed since then. DK Shadow says, the plot thickens. We may yet get to see McAfee eat his own dick. Here's another thing that didn't happen, right? Justice Department ordered to release redacted Mar-a-Lago search warrant affidavit. So they have proposed their obliteration, their redactions, and the judge has accepted them, which tells me that most of the useful content of this affidavit will be unusable. There will be dark places like, we accuse Trump of, and then there will be black, 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 black. It's too bad because that means we won't get a look at the actual substantial content of this affidavit. So it's a mock release. It's just a release to say we've released something. It's not going to be informative on what could have caused the probable cause threshold to be reached and what lies if any, what lies did the FBI had to use, because the judge accepted the version of the DOJ, so they're the ones ultimately deciding the redactions. Nonsense. It's going to be released tomorrow. I don't expect anything interesting to come out of it. Simple reports. YouTube has removed the rule barring claims that vaccines do not reduce the risk of contracting COVID-19 essentially, you can now say vaccines do not prevent infection. This is one example of something that was in the rules of many social media platform, and that was absolutely wrong, and everyone knew it was wrong. The sentence was, any claims that COVID-19 vaccines do not reduce the risk of contracting COVID. So people like me had to be censored. People who wanted to say this truth early had to be censored. And now YouTube is implicitly acknowledging that the people banned were right because they removed it from the list. So why isn't YouTube making a public statement that the vaccine does not reduce the risk of transmission? Code exempt says class action. The thing is, we're faced with such a web of cooperating corrupted agents, some from the state. And so YouTube in a class action would argue, we were just doing what the CDC was saying. And the CDC would be saying, we were just doing what the scientists were telling us. And so it's very hard to ultimately find a legal path to get restitution. I think that most of the hurt done during the pandemic will never be recovered in any form. And yet there should be. If we are to think of a solid system of politics that could survive parasitism, we're going to have to develop a technique to punish the parasites. It's not enough. A deeper look inside China's latest 1 trillion yuan stimulus. A few days ago, we mocked the relentless China news mill, saying that every day there are 5 stories about some new imminent stimulus out of China, and every day nothing at all happens. Well, it appears that someone in Beijing heard us, because just days later we got not one but 2 major STEMI developments. So we are talking about the collapse of the China's critical housing sector, which at $62 trillion is the world's largest asset class. And so they have done a stimulus program to save this housing sector from crashing. And Beijing would offer 200 billion yuan in special loans to ensure stalled housing projects are delivered to buyers. This new lending program would make it the biggest financial commitment yet from Beijing to contain a property crisis that has seen home prices slump and real estate sales plummet. At a time when growing housing market instability also means a growing threat to political stability. I'm wondering to what extent are they paying the price now for the limits on reproduction that they had done in the past? The one-child policy of China. When was it ended? One-child policy China. One child policy was implemented between 1980 and 2015. So here, I think I have a theory here. Why would the Chinese housing market crash? Because they didn't make enough babies to replenish the demand. And so they were building, but they were interfering with reproduction. And now we find ourselves with the babies from these years, they are now making it into adult life, and they are not numerous enough to replenish the demand for real estate. That is what happens when you do market interventions, when you try to control the market rather than let it go naturally. You end up with a lack of demand or too much offer. Quite sends $101. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, JF, yesterday's show was awesome. I think anyone finding JF's channel in the future should be sent to that episode as one to watch. A lot was covered in that episode, which starts with JF saying, it's going to be a chill show tonight. Chill, it was on fire. Really? I thought that the episode yesterday was very banal and regular. I'm glad to hear this compliment, but what was the title yesterday? Oh yeah, yesterday we were talking about Biden buys votes in the indebted student population. It wasn't anything spectacular. Maybe the review of a video, people get excited when I review videos. Unfortunately, there's just not enough interesting videos being generated every day to allow me to truly do video reviews. And then there was this woman, oh my God, yeah. WH, explain to me, what is it that you found amazing in yesterday's show? Because I remember it as a very run-of-the-mill basic show where nothing very original was... I didn't come up with nothing much original. Nicholas Petris says, we love when JF unleashes the pawnage. I love this term, pawnage. Mark Zuckerberg tells Joe Rogan, FBI warned Facebook of Russian propaganda before Hunter Biden laptop story. Mark Zuckerberg defended Facebook's actions in limiting the reach of the Hunter Biden laptop story. I'm happy that we now know for sure that this was a direct channel between the FBI and Mark Zuckerberg. But what I don't like is that Mark Zuckerberg doesn't look at this and realize what it is. This is the state trying to recruit you into violating the First Amendment for them. The FBI cannot be controlling speech in America. And so if they contact you, they are trying to get you as a private agent to do the dirty work that they cannot do constitutionally. And you should have much more honor than go on Joe Rogan. And he was explaining in the interview, you know, we went much less rude than we went much more soft than Twitter on the Hunter Biden laptop because we didn't ban it. We shadow banned it. That is the great moral high horse of Mark Zuckerberg. I don't participate fully to state censorship. I participate to soft shadow banning types of censorship along with the state. I violate the First Amendment, but not so much. Unbelievable. Chuck Garrity says, JF, did you hear about Kobe Bryant's wife awarded $16 million for photos being taken of his corpse being shared? The rich get richer. Yeah, I find this ridiculous. I think that there shouldn't be a cause of action here. If third parties agree, hey, I have this picture, and hey, you want this picture? Here, let me give you this picture. We are all in the domain of this has nothing to do with Kobe Bryant's wife. No wrong is being done here. If Kobe Bryant's wife doesn't want to see the picture of her dead husband, she shouldn't consume the media where it would be released. And she shouldn't seek information about where this picture is. The problem here is that we are crossing the boundary of escapable harm. I've been rarely talking about it, but when I talk about it, it's a very important point. Escapable harm shouldn't be recoverable. In other words, if you are a sadomasochist and you want to have sex the hard way and you end up injuring yourself in whatever sadomasochism that you engage in, you shouldn't be able to recover damages because you exposed yourself to this thing. Now, Kobe Bryant's wife, no one forces her to know or to review the photos or to to even care about the fact that there would be photos of her husband out there as he was dying. So I'm totally, if you had an option to escape the harm and you didn't take it, you shouldn't have a cause of action here. Chuck Garrity says, JF, no, this one I read, some random blog says, hey, JF, did you see that? Well, okay, I can talk about this because it's a failure to identify hate speech. Court finds that Kill the Boer lyrics are not hate speech. AfriForum to appeal ruling. Of course, we always expect this. We do this. This is not because it's a corrupt nation, you know. We saw this in Canada where, you know, a black woman yelling, I hate white people, and then committing crimes against white people as she was yelling this would lead to no finding of that this was a hate crime. So clearly the whole idea of hate speech, hate crime, is not what it is claimed to be. It is a bunch of special rules that have been enacted to punish white people and to go after white people harder than black people. That's what it is. So the whole conception of hate speech and hate crimes are solely designed to attack white people. We have Fisher.jp on archive.org. He's been kind of trolling, I believe, the Discord server. Let us see if he has something interesting to say tonight. Fisher, are you here?
Yeah, I'm here. Well, I don't know about trolling, but I wanted to ask you about, I keep getting into this argument about female selection strategy and whether it's trustworthy. So I wanted to ask what your thoughts were on that.
So what do you mean? Do you mean should we look for trustworthiness in a female?
No, I mean the instinct that women have to select certain men over others as an evolutionary pressure. I think that it's still relatively intact, but a lot of people are telling me that they see women choosing the wrong men and that this is causing issues with the evolutionary pressure.
Oh, well, that's a good question. I think that the instincts are headed toward the right direction still. So women, what do they want? Well, it differs across women. Some women will go into niche category. But in general, they want kind of an asshole-y, kind of stupid, kind of good-looking and muscular and relatively well-off guy. That's what they're looking for, right?
Right.
And I think it's the right, it's still the right tuning. Now, I believe that current society heavily messes with the degree of interest that a woman has and the degree of incentives that she has to genuinely find a quality male. So I think, if anything, current society relaxes the pressure, but I would expect this to show up in the choice patterns of women maybe thousands of years down the line.
Right. Well, thanks. That's all I wanted to know. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Yep.
All right. It doesn't seem like a troll, but I think he was trying to engage on. I may be misremembering, but I think he was trying to push the guys of the Discord server to take a pro-Israel stance, and I was like, does this guy have any idea where he is? Maybe he does. Maybe he's just a serious guy who happened to have a different belief on this question. Colum Oxford says, JF covered a study on the direction of IQ and culture a while back, none of it looked good. Yeah, I would say to Fisher GP that I think people who would argue that the lack of marriage structure and the hypergamy of modern society has already evolutionarily changed the choices of women, that would be very surprising to me. It certainly has already to a certain extent, but I think that the effect must be small. Most of the choices of women are probably tied to evolution during the last 100,000 years rather than the last 20 years. Hermit M says, JF, what are your thoughts on the concept of eternal return? Eternal return. I don't know what that is. Eternal return. Well, it's a multiplayer online survival arena. It's a con. Oh, there it is on Wikipedia. Is a concept that the universe and all existence and energy has been recurring and will continue to recur in a self-similar form an infinite number of times across infinite time or space. The concept is found in Indian philosophy and in ancient Egypt and was subsequently taken up by the Pythagoreans and Stoics. With the decline of antiquity and the spread of Christianity, the concept fell into disuse in the Western world, with the exception of Nietzsche, who resurrected it as a thought experiment. Eternal return relates to the philosophy of predeterminism in that people are predestined to continue repeating the same events over and over again. I think it's a weak concept. Wherever you are, whether you're talking biology, physics, there's always a beginning. So if you're talking about, well, if you're seeing galaxies, for example, and the formation of new stars, there might have been two or three cycles since the beginning of the universe where a solar system forms, explodes, reforms, explodes, reforms. But you're always in a finite number of times. So that's for solar system formation. You could think of the eternal return in biology, thinking across generations, the same things happen over and over again. But there is a time at which the first humans showed up, and there is a time at which the first bacteria showed up, and there's a time at which the first life form showed up on planet Earth. So it's not eternal, and there's nothing infinite as far as we can know. Then you can ask above the universe. So then you fall into the cyclical cosmological model of Penrose and others, who believe that the universe reforms itself into a new Big Bang at the end of each iteration. There's not much evidence for this. I've not been fascinated or super convinced by the papers on this. They try to see in the cosmological wave background some evidence for black holes that would precede the Big Bang. I don't find it definitive. I'm not super convinced about it. But it could be true. It could be true. But then it would just mean that the universe is cyclical, but how long have these cycles been going on for? Does it have to be eternal? I don't think so. So no, I would reject this concept as a woo-woo concept from a culture that has never developed anything of interest. The Indian culture. Sends $31. He says, JF, on yesterday's show, you touched on many concepts I think are important. You talked of different group relations with that large ladies video and talked about the future and how rich people might take their money out of America and leave it. I think those are good topics to hear talked about. Oh, yeah, that's true. Now I remember. That was an important delivery of a new... it was an idea that I had yesterday, you know, looking at... that was a new idea. You're right. So somewhere in this in this absence of news environment, I came up with some original idea. Kenzie says, how can mutations be random when they sometimes refer to something in our universe? How do you explain fear of spiders? What do they mean when they say random? Okay, well, you have one question that is related to itself, but then in the middle, you've inserted something totally out of... So how do you explain fear of spiders? Well, I guess. I don't think that it has to be the case that past humans have faced toxic spiders, but it's a possibility, you know. If you live in tribal life close to the equator, you're going to have a couple of toxic spiders around you that can kill you. And not only this, you're going to be stuck with mud huts and just basic shelter that is very easy to penetrate for spiders. So I would be scared of spiders if I was in some African country where there's a toxic spider and stuck in the kind of houses that they have. So I think it doesn't have to be that our past was filled with toxic spiders, but it could be. And if it's not the case, then I would say we probably evolved to be scared of little things that move like life forms, because those would be potentially dangerous insects, disease-carrying little mammals, and perhaps snakes. All of these things could have been danger that we evolved a response, and perhaps that response shows in its full scope against spiders, but we may have evolved more generally to just address little things that move. Now, the question of how can mutations be random? And you're right, and I've specified in my book, Chapter 9, that when we say random, what we should say basically is random enough. Because nothing is truly random in a deterministic universe. So there is no claim here that the DNA gets mutated in a way that is non-physical. It has to be physics, and therefore it has to be non-random. What we mean by random, I've phrased it in my chapter 9, we mean due to causes that are unknown to us and that are outside of the scope of biology. Basically, what I call a Darwinian random mutation is a mutation that is not influenceable, not controllable by an evolving being. Because when it becomes controllable by an evolving being, then there could be a direction given to that mutation. Then you're not into random mutation anymore, you are into genetic modification and sculpting of a life form. So random means not caused by a conscious process, nor an evolutionary process, nor a language-based process or a cognitive one. Basically, it means caused within the realm of physics in ways that are untraceable within the scope of biology. Lodazal says, has JF covered the tomato flu yet? Never heard of a tomato flu. You're going to have to inform me about this. I have tomatoes in my greenhouse. They're not coughing. Obama's chief economic advisor blasts Biden's reckless student debt bailout. Jason Furman is an American economist and professor at Harvard. On June 10, 2013, Furman was named by President Barack Obama as chair of the Council of Economic Affairs. Furman's thread continues. He states, pouring roughly half a trillion dollars of gasoline on the inflationary fire that is already burning is reckless. Doing it while going well beyond one campaign promise, $10,000 of student loan relief, and breaking another all proposals paid for is even worse. Yes, definitely, we have thrown money onto the system, and this can only aggravate inflation. Tomato flu outbreak in India spreads to two more states. New viral infection detected in dozens of children in Kerala and now also in Tamil Nadu and Odisha. Oh yeah, these young uprising flus, you shouldn't worry about those. You have to let them pass the test of time, because much of these news that we hear about the new strand of flu will not matter in the long run. The virus will have some defect that makes it very hard to spread. Perhaps the virus is too specialized for the locality where it evolved, and then it starts having trouble when spreading at the international level. Perhaps it's a virus that exploits a local lack of nutrients, but when it finds itself in Western nation, it just can't spread. There are many, many reasons why these viruses are, they look very promising, but they end up delivering nothing. So let's give them some time. I'm not worrying about a virus until it kills 1,000 people. And even then, I reserve my right not to be worried. Some random bloke sends a super chat. He says, "Hey, Jeff, look at what our Israeli friends are up to." I always like to follow what my friends do. Biotech company to take human DNA and create artificial embryos used to harvest organs for medical transplant. Well, there you go. Little babies in a bubble. I mean, movies have been predicting this. Yeah, I really don't like this. I really don't like this. The idea of parasiting beings, even if they don't have a brain, you know, there's something creepy about this. The idea of draining the youth. Dino Legovic says, "Yeah, if you have any money to invest in those, in maintaining an entire artificial embryo, wouldn't the ethical thing to do be to just invest that money in making a supplementary baby? Because you're going to be hosting a life on planet Earth of which the sole purpose is to narcissistically extend your life. And arguably, making a baby will cost you less, will have a lower carbon footprint. And so could we maybe make a law that says you cannot keep those artificial embryos, even if they feel nothing, even if they don't have a brain? Because your extension of life costs potential life and its potential existence." Dino Legovic says, "Hard to read the hyper chats because of contrasting colors. How to say change the colors, please." Okay, I don't know, but I think that it's related to the particular color of the low paying super chat, because I see the super chat of quite when he sends $100, when he sends even $30, $31, it's shiny and highlighted and all. But when Lodazal comes with 5 LBC and some random bloke comes with $3, it's not shiny. It's more, there's a lack of contrast. So I think the annoyance here is intentional. I kind of like it. The idea that if you want your super chat to shine, if you want good contrast on your text, deliver some more money. And we can see that Shelburne actually just sent $5. And at $5, it's very readable. So it's really just the $3 and the low amounts of LBC that get punished at being fully gray and not very well contrasted. Colm Oxworth says, think of the shekels we could make from selling fresh lungs, Jeff. Yeah, but it's creepy. And you have to accept death. Death will come. I was looking at talking about the extension of life. Holy shit. This is what happens to you when you try to extend life too much. She was a beautiful actress, I believe. I don't quite recognize her. I couldn't tell you exactly which movie she was in. But this is Klingon level of face surgical surgery. I mean, here she looked kind of okay, but here. So this is with makeup. This is without makeup. Listen. This is not a natural direction. There has been some artificial manipulation here happening. On the forehead. All of this to say, you will get punished if you try to extend life or youth for too long. Just use life. Use life as it's available and waste it and spend it wisely. Shell Burns sends a super chat. He says, Jeff, have you watched The Stand 1994? It is more fun since COVID. The Stand 1994. I haven't watched this. Oh, it's a titty series. What we watched yesterday, me and Mama Jeff, was Quick Change with Bill Murray. Very good movie. Very hetero. It's like the whole goal is making baby with the girl and also stealing banks. Very hetero. After a deadly plague, so that's The Stand, 1994. After a deadly plague kills most of the world's population, the remaining survivors split into two groups, one led by a benevolent elder and the other by a malevolent being, to face each other in a final battle between good and evil. Okay. That seems cheap. I'm looking at the trailer. Seems like a very cheap B-level titty series. I might give a try to a single episode. Might. Nomura, a Powell Nuttenberger tomorrow risks being interpreted as de facto dovish. It's very important that we are clear in our communication about the destination we are headed. We have to get interest rates higher to slow down demand and bring inflation back to our target. We want financial conditions to tighten along with the direction we are moving around policy. So I guess there will be another announcement by the Fed tomorrow. No idea what will happen, but these days it causes ups and downs on the market. I'm like, at this point, why do we have these announcements anymore? It always wrecks the price of Bitcoin in some direction that is very hard to predict. Deaths with unknown causes, now Alberta's top killer. You know, as science evolves and technology becomes more available, you would expect that we know more and more about what causes people to die. But no, we now know less and less about what causes people to die. And probably the reason is we don't want to admit some causes of death. It's now the top killer. The top killer is unknown. Ill-defined and unknown causes, 3,362. This, by the way, is not a measure of a diminishment in our capacity to say what causes a death. It's a measure of the fear of doctors in the current ideological context of medicine to say, look, I think the vaccine killed this person. 3,362. Apparently, this unknown cause category made it into the top 10 only in 2019 and became the top one only this year. So this gives you an idea of there was something in parallel with the COVID pandemic that led to a massive increase in this category. Second in the list is dementia. Third is COVID-19. Now I'm afraid that a lot of vaccine deaths end up getting classified as COVID. It's just less trouble for the doctor. The doctor doesn't want to get in trouble with the companies, doesn't want to get sued for attacking vaccines, doesn't want to get to lose his license to reach for reaching causal conclusions. So I think it's much easier for the doctor to say, well, he had COVID, so it's COVID that killed him. Myocardial infarction, so heart attack, malignant neoplasm, number 5. Chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, diabetes, wow, diabetes is a strong killer. Stroke, 9. Accidental poisoning by and exposure to drugs and other substances, so this is the overdose category, 604 deaths in Alberta in 2021. John Drake says, I read an article that claims 94% of the vaxxed have micro blood clots. Very hard to... I've seen these claims. I never found a good backing, which is why I've never covered these claims on the show. A lot of claims, you know, you have the insurance agents who are like, we see an increase in expectations of death. Okay, I would love to see the numbers. But what I have is a stream here and there on BitChute where a guy speaks for 1 hour, 2 hours. I don't see raw data. I don't see something that I could attest, hey, that's true. I've also seen all these claims about the people who are working at morgues, morticians, and they are saying, oh, We are finding things that we've never found before, and they get these slimy, long, elongated clots from the dead bodies of people, and I'm like, this existed before, and it's related to just the blood drying, the person being dead. They have worms kind of growing into their veins. So I have to believe the mortician that somehow this has become more common since the vaccines. I don't trust them to make this statistical evaluation, so I discard the finding. I've been seeing all these things. Don't think that because I don't talk about it on the show that I'm not aware of the claims. But I take awareness of all the claims, and then I filter out those that are not supported. That is how I process for this show. Bryn Jones says, hi, Jeff. How reliable is data gained via a Raman microspectrometer? The Raman soup is a average performance spectrometer. You can get some cues from the density of spectral light on a very wide spectrum, but you're going to encounter problems when the rays of light come to hit onto the egg. You know, sometimes how there's a hard-boiled egg in those soups, particularly around the noodles also, you're going to find that the noodles filter too much of the light, which will reduce your resolution on the spectrum. So overall, using ramen noodles as a spectrometer is not the ideal choice. I would recommend simply buying a professional microspectrometer. Now, I'm just kidding. I'm making up bullshit in my answer. I have no idea what a Raman microspectrometer is. So I was giving you an answer that made zero sense. Learn about Raman microspectrometry. The Raman spectrometer is a scientific instrument used to measure the Raman spectra of microscopic samples. For example, a chemist will use it to measure the spectrum of a single microscopic crystal. Okay, well, so basically it's a microscope spectrometer. Well, I have never used that kind of technology, so I'm unaware of the reliability or whether there's a good one or a bad one. I have no idea. I cannot guide you. But it looks like a good idea. I mean, you want to do spectrometry, but you want to do it extremely focused on a single microscopic sample. I wouldn't be surprised if it's trustable, but I wouldn't be surprised also that you need to process your sample very properly. It should be very easy, I guess, to have. If you don't have a pure sample, you're going to get all sorts of signals because you're so zoomed that it will matter very much how your sample is prepared. Update: police report reveals trans activists committed a second swatting of Marjorie Taylor Greene. We had talked about one already, I believe, yesterday. The person who made the call through the chat advised that they came out as transgender and claimed that they shot the family. So we are still faced with the same troll. The troll that has done probably the swatting of Tim Pool many times, maybe a dozen times, and now Marjorie Taylor Greene. It looks like this guy is under lots of layers of IP protection, because by now they should have found him. So what kind of VPN system does this guy use? Because a regular VPN, I would expect this guy to have been found already. Even the Onion system, perhaps he would have been found given how much the feds are invested in controlling some of the servers on this network. So I don't know what he's using. He must be using some multi-layered and international transfer approach where perhaps he's connected through a VPN in a jurisdiction that he knows they will never have access to. I have no idea. August, on the verge of being tropical storm free for only a third time in 60 years. Well, I thought we were headed toward more and more hurricanes, but it seems that this year we actually have much less hurricanes than we had in any previous year. Okay, well, that's for August. Of course, there will be hurricanes coming on the East Coast later. Zero Hedge suspended again by Twitter for reporting facts. So they were reporting about 4.9 million illegal aliens crossed the US border in 18 months since Biden took office. That was a very general phrasing. They were actually copy-pasting it from other sources like FAIR that are reporting on illegal aliens. But it seems that the wokes at Twitter have reached the conclusion that no one is illegal. And so you cannot use the term illegal alien, which everyone understands means an alien present in a country without the proper approval process. And therefore, present in an illegal fashion. And the left's approach with this term and YouTube's approach has been, you are saying that this person is illegal? A person cannot be illegal. A person can just commit illegal action. That's their argument. What a load of bullshit. Breaking, Biden administration officially terminates the Disinformation Governance Board. I don't think it's a novel thing. We had already announced this, but it is now official. Carrie Poppins will not be coming to sweet our nights with her singing about how COVID is dangerous and you should get the vaccine. That was a close one. We almost had to injure her. Forget global warming. Worry about the magnetosphere. Earth's magnetic field is collapsing and it could affect the climate and wipe out power grids. I'm yawning. I'm yawning, I guess, because I've seen this news item before. We talked about it many times on the show. But it's like sometimes the news cycle, it comes back. I mean, this is from 2014, but people were sharing this on Discord. So I thought maybe we can talk about it. I think that the magnetosphere collapsing might have severe consequences onto the Earth. But it's also very unpredictable when it will happen. Apparently, it's like it's a flip. It happens and then everything crumbles. And then the sun starts bombarding us with particles that are no more deflected. Kovi Killer Clown says, JF, are whites considered apes? Like, I'm going to ban you, Kovi Killer Clown, if you continue with bizarre questions like this. Every human is an ape. Because ape is the family of great monkeys that include the great apes, I mean, as opposed to the monkeys. And it includes the chimpanzees, the gorillas, the humans, and the others. Pfizer's Paxlovid shows no benefit in younger adults. I have never been excited at this drug at all. And I think that even the positive benefit that is reported on other age categories, I think it's bullshit. I think it's the result of probably research malpractice and biases and self-deception. It's like, oh yeah, we came up with a molecule. Oh yeah, this molecule cures COVID, a virus, but we don't know exactly why. We don't know exactly how. Two persons plead guilty to stealing Ashley Biden's inappropriate showers with dad diary. So the daughter of Joe Biden had gotten her journals stolen. And this is the journal from which we learned that the daughter of Joe Biden says that she's had inappropriate showers with her dad. And as souvenirs of being sexually exploited, or I don't know exactly how she phrased it, but she has memories of childhood being subjected to sexual terror and taking inappropriate showers with Joe Biden. So that's straight from the daughter of Joe Biden. Now, this has led to some of the trouble around Project Veritas. You know how the FBI made a raid on Project Veritas and it wasn't clear why? Well, it seems that it's related to this ultimately. It's that this diary is considered a stolen object and therefore selling it to Project Veritas was selling the product of thievery. But Project Veritas has not been sued in this case, so they have merely raided them to get info, I guess, and to get the diary maybe, but so we end up with these two people, Emma Harris 40 and Robert Curlander 58, pleading guilty to taking part in a conspiracy to transport stolen materials from Florida, where Ashley Biden had been living, to New York, according to the New York Times. So they basically stole and sold this diary. Very interesting. What I care about is the information in the diary, ultimately. And the information points to Joe Biden being a pedo. The existence of Bitcoin is a political paradox. Bitcoin is an apolitical monetary protocol for humanity, birthed in a world so deeply entangled and confused by a captured system of political power, influence, and violence. A deep irony exists when we live in a world that has become so polarized and politicized, so much so that an immutable apolitical system of scarce information of value has manifested into existence. That is a proper description. John Drake says, what's a diary worth? $10 or $20? I thought theft under a G-note wasn't prosecutable. Oh my goodness. Well, I have no idea how much they sold it, but if they have transferred between one state and another, it becomes a federal crime, and you've been doing interstate commerce with stolen material. It can get very complicated, and you can have the book thrown at you if they don't like you, which is exactly what's happening here. We have information that is very annoying to the Democrats. So the feds do what they have to do to block it. In the meanwhile, when Gives and Go gets hacked and the donors of the trucker convoy get leaked, then the leftists are just applauding. Then the FBI is not on the case. High Trust Society Simulator. Oh, it's a new game, fantasy game. Do you wish you lived in a high trust society? Now you can. Enjoy sharing a common culture and language. Walk streets without fear of crime. Experience a sane politics concerned about citizens. Feel like you belong in your own country. Look at this, a new game. They will virtualize the experience of high trust society, with old people exchanging flowers, neighbors shaking hands, and beautiful women with beer. No crime, no corruption, no trash on the streets, no mentally ill people experience. The High Trust Society Simulator. I'm buying it. I want to experience it with the Mark Zuckerberg, full view onto my eyes. I want to feel the whole 3D experience of it. Dino Logovich says, we have arrived. Absolutely, we have the technology. We don't have the society anymore, but we have the technology. Crazy Catman says, it's a meme, but it's funny because it's sad. Yes, there are these things that are funny because they're sad, which shows that funniness and sadness are not operating on the same dimension. That is it for tonight, Buzz. Much love. I will see you all very... Nicholas Petris says, is it actually real? No, it's a joke. You thought you could get this game? No, I'm sorry. This game cannot exist. If you want this, you need to maintain the society in this state. Thank you.